Welcome once again, everybody. This is Solomon on Blast here on Power Talk Live. We're the show that applies the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of King Solomon to the confused culture we live in today. You can find us here every Saturday from 11 to 12 a.m. That's Tucson, Arizona time. But don't worry if you miss the live show. The past shows are available on our website, SolomonOnBlast.com. You can download the MP3 file and listen to it at your leisure. My co-host, Fred, is out today, out of the country as a matter of fact. But I am here, obviously, so if you want to participate in our discussion, you can call in. The studio number has not changed, but just in case you don't know it, it's 520-750-7456. My producer, Mike, here is running the board today and answering the phone, so I'm not entirely alone. But not having a co-host does kind of move me out of my comfort zone, which it's okay to be moved out of your comfort zone at times. If that doesn't happen, life can become kind of a drudgery when we get stuck in a rut. And it's not hard to do that, to get stuck in that rut and not be able to get out of it. It's kind of like when you're driving down the freeway, you know, you don't want to get off the edge of the road because if you try and get back on too quickly off of the edge, you may end up rolling that vehicle. So once you get stuck in that rut, it's kind of hard to just pull yourself out, but sometimes we need to do that at a gradual pace anyways. And habits are good to have. We've talked about that in the past. You know, having habits helps us improve our efficiencies. And obviously, you don't want to go through life having to tie your shoes at the speed that you did when you first were learning how to tie your shoes. You can improve your efficiencies a lot once you get that habit down. Same thing with brushing your teeth. Habit helps a lot there. You just don't want to get into the just going through the motions kind of thing when it comes to brushing your teeth and having to repeat it because you weren't accomplishing what you were trying to do. And sometimes habits can cause that to happen to us. Habits help us if we're those that are kind of forgetful. But if your habit is the whole day of your every day is a habit in your life, and you just go through and do the same thing over and over again, we can feel like we're never going to escape our normal lives, and every day looks like the same day over and over again. And actually, every day looks like Groundhog Day. Now, if you've never seen the movie, or maybe you have, but just kind of as a refresher, Groundhog Day was a movie back from 1993, starred Bill Murray. He was a Pittsburgh TV weatherman by the name of Phil Connors, and his assignment for the day was to cover the Groundhog Day happenings in Punxsutawney Phil, where the groundhog comes out and sees his shadow on Groundhog Day. Well, he's done this 4 years in a row, and like I said, he's pretty arrogant about his egocentric, arrogant, and that's his whole manner during this whole trip to end up at the little town where they're going to do the Groundhog Day ceremonies. Well, he's got his video cameraman with him and his producer, who happens to be Andy McDowell in that particular movie. And they end up there for the night. He goes up to his he gets his own nice little bed and breakfast room instead of having to stay in the hotel, which he claims was horrible. And the next day he goes through the whole ritual again in his mainly egocentric attitude of doing what, you know, he likes to do and focus on himself. The problem turns out that at the end of that day, when they're trying to get out of the town and leave so he can go back home because he's pretty much fed up with the town, he doesn't want to be there anyways, they get stuck in the town because of a blizzard that came in. Now, as a weatherman, the problem was he predicted that the blizzard wasn't going to come in. So he kind of gets stuck with his own bad prediction, and he ends up stuck in the town overnight. Well, when he wakes up the next morning, it's the same day. It's back right back to February 2nd, Groundhog Day. And that's kind of the premise of the whole movie, is that he just continually loops through the same day, Groundhog Day, over and over. And, you know, a lot of times we cover books and whatnot, and we look at books as having a good redeeming value, and oftentimes we don't look at movies as having that same redeeming value. But when you really look at this movie and start thinking about what life can be like, you realize that, well, you know what, there's a lot to be said for this movie and how it points out aspects of our life. And so it really is a good movie. You can relate to it. The thing is, Solomon's already had this whole premise put together, and we've said it numerous times on the show, vanity of vanity, all is vanity, there's nothing new under the sun. And that comes right out of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and that really is the whole aspect of Groundhog Day, the movie, and in some cases, a lot of times, that is the reality of life, that life is a Groundhog Day. Solomon says, he says in first chapter of Ecclesiastes, he says, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, another comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes to the south, turns around to the north, whirls about continually, and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. And that is the reality of life. Life is a Groundhog Day. So what are we to do? Solomon and Phil both have ideas. Maybe they aren't that much different. We'll come back and discuss more about Groundhog Day here on Solomon on Blast. They say our love won't pay the rent before it's earned. Our money's all been spent. I guess that's so. We don't have a pot, but at least I'm sure of all the things we got. They. I got you, babe. I got you, babe. And when I'm sad, you're a clown. And if I get scared, you're always around. Let them say your hair's too long. All right, we're back. More of Solomon on Blast. Now, if you've ever seen the movie Groundhog Day, that song, Sonny and Cher, I Got You, Babe, was the one that kept getting replayed over and over every single morning on the radio when he'd wake up at 6 o'clock. And that was on the radio the first Groundhog Day, the real day, and continued after that. That's kind of what the trigger was every day was 6 o'clock. The radio, clock radio changed. Remember clock radios. Clock radio changed to 6, and Sonny and Cher came on and started singing that song. Now, the first day he's there in at the bed and breakfast, the lady that runs the bed and breakfast, he's ready to go out the door to go do his little spot at the viewing with the groundhog, and the lady says, well, you're going to be checking out today. And his response was with 100% certainty. And he's a weatherman, so he does a lot of his commentary around as if he was a weatherman, and the lady had kind of just chit-chat with him, small talk how regarding the weather, and he went into a whole spiel like a weatherman would and just kind of left her standing there, you know, not sure what to say. So he continued it with his, he was 100% certain he was going to leave that day. And the funny thing is, when it came to the second day, he wasn't so certain. He was kind of walking around in disbelief, wasn't sure when he made effectively the same comment to the head of the bed and breakfast, he had gone down to a 75% to 80% chance of leaving that day. And that's kind of how we go through our lives, I think, at times, is we think we've got a pretty much figured out 100% chance of doing what we want to do, but there is no certainty, and he finds that out the hard way. He's going through his life thinking that he's in control, that things are going to work out the way he wants them to, and he gets stuck in this time loop, basically, of never being able to progress beyond Groundhog Day. And in that first day, he runs into, or every day, he runs into a guy standing on the street corner, a poor guy, looking for a handout, and he constantly just kind of looks through, acts as if he's looking through his pockets to give him something, and then just walks right by him. And I wonder on that first day when he did that, if maybe there wasn't that activity wasn't, kind of part of the whole reason he ends up getting stuck, because Solomon says, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. And you see this happen. He basically ignored the poor guy and ended up, crying out himself, trying to be heard, that here he was stuck in this continuous loop of the same day over and over. Here's a clip. Let's see. Nah, that didn't work out very well. Catch you tomorrow, he says. Not knowing that it would be the same day over and over. So when he goes that day, he does his whole presentation there at the little ceremony to have the groundhog come out and find out whether he sees his shadow or not. One of the questions he asked at doing the weatherman interview there, he says, well, we're going to find out, does Phil feel lucky? Now, the real question, I think, is that kind of goes back to is to himself, does he feel lucky? He's kind of gotten this viewpoint that everything's about him. And like I say, he's very egocentric throughout this movie. And little does he realize that him and the groundhog aren't all that much different. And I think that's kind of the reason. His name, Phil Connors, and obviously the groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, when they made the movie, they put a little bit of thought into this, that there really isn't a whole lot of difference between these guys, between the groundhog and the weatherman, Phil Connors, that Bill Murray plays. Because in reality, that's about all that Punxsutawney Phil does, right? He comes out once a year, Groundhog Day, shows up, does a weather report, and disappears. He's a celebrity for one day. And what's he doing? He's predicting the weather. Now, he's probably predicting the weather, at least in this particular movie, better than the actual weatherman, because that's why he's stuck in the city in the first place, or in this little town, is because he didn't predict the weather correctly and they got stuck. And so the second day that he showed, the second Groundhog Day, when it starts looping, he's trying to outrun the repetition of the day. He's kind of in disbelief, trying to figure out what in the heck is going on, and he just doesn't understand it. And when you tie it back into what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, there's a lot of similarity in this movie, and I just wonder how much of the book of Ecclesiastes they really understood when they made this movie, whoever, when they wrote it and produced it. because Solomon says, for what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful, and his work burdensome, even in the night his heart takes no rest. This is also vanity. And you kind of see that happening in Phil's life as he repeats the day over and over again. He's kind of in a disbelief. He's trying to figure out what the heck's going on. The nights are the same over and over again. And as he goes through each day, repeating the day over and over again, he begins to realize different things and take different actions to try and accommodate for the fact that here he is stuck in this day every single day. And one of the things that he first realizes is that, you know, he could be stuck in a much, much better day. Why is it that he got stuck in a bad day? And I think there's some insight into that, because we have a tendency to think that, you know, the drudgery, the repetitiveness of life is a bad thing. And I think sometimes it may be a good thing. You know, we can be consistent in our day-to-day activities and not really understand that it's not always bad. When bad things happen, you'd rather go back to that normal good day where nothing out of the normal really occurs. You know, if you're going to work every day and everything's normal and you feel like, well, you know, I'd rather be at home or not at work, and then suddenly a couple days later you're sick, you're in bed, not feeling well, I think at that point you'd realize, okay, I think I'd rather be at work and feel better than be stuck at home or not at work and feeling sick. And I think we don't always look at our situation in the right light and expect that just because it's the normal thing happening over and over again, it's a bad thing. Well, for Phil in this movie, the bad thing over and over, he's questioning what the heck is going on. And, you know, was looking at it from, hey, why couldn't I have been stuck in a good day that happens over and over again? And he actually makes a comment. There's a lot of good quotes out of this movie that you can find. His one comment when he's talking to a couple of the locals at the tavern, he says, what would you do if you were stuck in one place and every day was exactly the same and nothing that you did mattered? So he's reflecting on his situation. And one of the guys there, his name's Ralph, he says, that about sums it up for me. So, you know, you can think that you're in a pretty bad place and that nothing you did mattered. And in his viewpoint, he is stuck in this day over and over again. But here's a guy that is his normal life, you know. So there's a lot of good quotes, like I said. And do we have that one, Mike? It's a different one. Okay. Well, we'll keep going here. So as he's finding out that there's no consequences, or, you know, that's kind of the first thing that he comes to the realization of after the disbelief of not really understanding why he's stuck in this same day over and over again. One of the first things he realizes is no consequences. And I think people live that way in a lot their lives. They think there are no consequences. Solomon says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this was also vanity. And that's some of the stuff that you see Phil in this movie start doing. He says, okay, he goes to the diner in the morning or at lunchtime, and he eats whatever he wants. He just orders sweets and drinks coffee right from the coffee pot, stuffs a whole piece of cake in his mouth. And his producer, Rita, Andy McDowell, looks at him and says, don't you have any kind of consideration for yourself, you know, and your health? And he says, no, because nothing matters. And he knows that the same thing's going to happen the next day. He's going to wake up back at the beginning of Groundhog Day. So we have a tendency to live our lives that way, thinking that, well, there are no consequences, and I can just keep doing the same thing or doing whatever I want with no real impact to anybody. He starts going out with the guys at the tavern. He's stealing their car. They go for a crazy drive throughout the whole town with all the police chasing him. And I think that you see that happening when people live their lives as if there are no consequences. And Solomon says, madness, he says, I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. And that's kind of the whole attitude that prevails in Phil during this phase of him being stuck in Groundhog Day over and over again. He's just looking how to gratify his flesh. He's out drinking and eating and everything else. So there's a lot of parallel here when you really start looking at this movie and breaking it down into how does it relate to the wisdom of Solomon. There's a lot of similarity, a lot of insight into it. And he starts taking advantage of things for himself. You know, he's figured out that he can look at anything in the town enough to, if he's stuck in this whole iteration over and over again, and find areas where he can take advantage of people, put himself in a better position, and do whatever he wants because there are no consequences. And he starts doing that. So after he just sees this no consequences, then he starts figuring out, okay, what can I get out of it for me and put myself in a better place? And so when we come back after this break, we'll look at that aspect of how we look at life. And, you know, a lot of times we do that. We take advantage of life for ourselves without thinking about others. So we'll come back with more on Solomon on Blast and more Groundhog Day right after this break. With more of Solomon on Blast here on Power Talk Live, talking about Solomon's wisdom in Ecclesiastes, understanding life and looking at it from the aspect of the movie Groundhog Day. So we've gone through kind of a couple of different phases where that Phil goes through. First, the phase of disbelief, and then the phase of believing there are no consequences. He does whatever he wants. Then he starts taking advantage of things for himself. And Solomon points out that is the way we are. He says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. And then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. And that's kind of this whole advantage aspect of it that Bill Murray or Phil looks at in the next phase of trying to understand his life stuck in this Groundhog Day over and over. He realizes he can look at situations and take advantage of them. In one particular case, he obviously must have watched enough of the things happening in the town that he figured out when the armored car shows up to bring money into the bank. So he, in this one particular scene, he's timed it to know exactly when the two guards, which are a couple old guys, you know, not really paying attention, aren't paying attention, and he walks up and just picks up a whole suitcase of money or a bag of money out of the back of this armored car while they're busy talking to one of the ladies from the town. And then in the next scene, he's out driving a Rolls Royce. He's got tons of cash. He's all dressed up like he's Clint Eastwood. And, you know, he's just taking advantage of everything that he's figured out he can take advantage of. He takes advantage of different people within the movie, within the town that he's gotten accustomed to. One of the ladies that works in the diner that he goes to. Just over and over, he's figured out who people are by going there enough times. He hits on a woman there, and he asked her who she is and everything else, knowing that she won't remember him the next day because nobody else understands that it's the same day over and over again. And he starts using the information he gathered a prior day to work into their lives and take advantage of them. And he does that with Rita, the producer for the TV station, and starts trying to take advantage of her. He likes her, and that's kind of the theme from the movie is it's a comedy, but at the same time, it's somewhat a romantic comedy, trying to get him, put himself in a place where she'll like him. And so he starts finding out who she is and everything else, and he goes overboard trying to change himself to accommodate her. He goes, figures out what she likes to drink. One day, you know, figures out what her past was. And then the next day, the repeat of the next Groundhog Day, he takes advantage of that fact. And sometimes, you know, that there's a negativity to that, but at the same time, there can also be good things that we in our own lives could go and take advantage of, knowing that a lot of life is the same over and over again. But if you're not looking for it, and if you're not paying attention to what's going on in your life, you can easily miss those opportunities to be able to have an advantage for yourself. And that's kind of the aspect of this. But he, in this particular area, he kind of does it in a negative manner, knowing, like I say, that there really were no consequences associated with it.
And there's a great quote. Sorry to
go ahead.
Audience, Mike Roper here. But I'm reading on YouTube. There's a comment here. A great line talking about God or a higher power. And the line is, maybe he's not omnipotent. He's just been around so long he knows everything.
Yeah, that's one of the classic quotes out of the movie. When as he's gone through all of this, trying to take advantage of everything, and that isn't working out for him. In the end, he just ends up kind of being really desperate, trying too hard, and things with Rita, the producer, actually start regressing. And and that's kind of the situation that Solomon applies in Ecclesiastes again. He says, I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and gained more wisdom than all who were before me. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and knowledge and to know madness and folly. And he says, I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind, or in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. And that's kind of the next phase of what goes on with Phil in this movie is he's regressed, trying to take advantage of everybody didn't work. So he regresses to the point where he's decided he's going to try and get out of it by killing himself. And he says, Phil says in the movie, this is another one of these great quotes, he says, there's no way that this winter is ever going to end as long as this groundhog keeps seeing his shadow. And that's kind of his mindset is now it's the animal. He says, I don't see any other way out. He's got to be stopped, and I have to stop him. And then the movie goes into him stealing the groundhog, driving off a cliff in a quarry and killing himself. And I think you see that same kind of thing in Ecclesiastes with how Solomon looks at things. He says, I said in my heart concerning the condition of the sons of men, God tests them that they may see that they themselves are like animals. For what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them, as one dies, so dies the other. And I think that's what you see in this phase, is that Phil's kind of in a situation where I'm no better than this dumb groundhog, and the only way out of this is to kill off the groundhog. You know, if I can kill the groundhog, I can kill the situation I'm in and stop it. But again, Phil is Phil. Phil, the weatherman, is Phil, the groundhog. There's so much similarity between the two of them.
It seems like he's grasping for answers, too.
Right.
Something has to make sense to him.
Somehow I got to get out of this
situation. Whether it's kill the groundhog, kill myself, stop manipulating people, or start helping people, I think he finally realizes is maybe probably the most important thing he should be learning. Because you think, oh, you're stuck in a time warp. It's for a reason. It's either I got to learn something, or something's happening that I should, you know, look at a different perspective and start changing myself. Or so I love this movie in general, though. It's just a great movie.
Yeah, and there, like I said, there's a lot of lines. He makes a comment. Phil says, "This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off, waiting to worship a rat. What a hype! Groundhog Day used to mean something in this town." They used to pull the hog out, and then they used to eat it. You're hypocrites, all of you, he says. So you can see he gets frustrated with life, and that's, in a lot of cases, how we are. We get frustrated with life, and we think we're going to resolve it by attacking what we perceive as the problem, and that's what Phil's doing here. He's attacking the groundhog because he perceives that the groundhog is really the problem with his situation. It's not himself and the way he views things, but instead it's the groundhog. And Ecclesiastes talks about it again. Solomon says, "So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity, for there's no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool." And so Phil has the opportunity to be that wise man here, because he's living the same day over and over again. He can figure things out. He can understand who people are and how they are. But his solution, his attempted solution, is to kill himself, to get out of this situation.
And I think maybe in situations like that, it's important to focus. You know, life's going on around you. You think you can predict things. But for some reason, it's to me in that higher power or God, or maybe someone was trying to prove something to him, that he's got to focus during this day to find out exactly what he's supposed to accomplish. And he fails, and he has some insight. But it seems like this day, all the pressure's on him to focus, to find that perspective that he should be and should have had at the very beginning of his journey in this
weird
time warp.
And you never really get out of the movie what it was that triggered everything. It's kind of left up to the to the viewer to understand what is it that put him into this situation. Because there's other movies out there that kind of do the people get their roles switched, but there's always some kind of effect that comes in play that causes it. This one, it just doesn't make any sense. Why did it happen to him? Why this particular day? And he takes a fatalistic view of life. And honestly, Solomon does too in Ecclesiastes when you start looking at it. He says, "Therefore I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind." And Phil effectively says the same thing when he's gone through all of these situations trying to kill himself. He says, "You want a prediction about the weather? You're asking the wrong Phil. I'll give you a weather prediction. It's going to be cold, it's going to be gray, and it's going to last you for the rest of your life." And so that's his viewpoint, is he can't get out of this. He just wants to die. And according to Harold Ramis, who was the director for this movie, you never get a good understanding of how long is he stuck in this. Mm-hmm. But according to the director, he says it actually goes on for about 10 years. So
wow.
When they broke down the movie, there's actually 34 separate Groundhog Day activities on screen in the film. And he says, Ramis said that he thought maybe he was even a little too short because it takes at least 10 years to get good at anything. And so it could have been more like even 30 or 40.
Wow.
Because there's, like I say, there were 38 days on screen, and there were actually around 414 days mentioned in the actual film itself, if you break it out and look at the different scenes where he's doing something. So he's figured out all the things that are happening in this town in that one day, and he's put himself in those situations. So he's there quite a long time. Now, after he ends up getting through all of this attempt to kill himself, he goes to Rita and tries to explain to her the situation he's in. And he says to her, he says, "I've been stabbed, shot, poisoned, frozen, hung, electrocuted, and burned." And her response, "Oh, really?" And he says, "And every morning I wake up without a scratch on me, not a dent in the fender. I'm an immortal. Life seems like a prison." And I think that's kind of the way we can look at our lives also. Is we think that, you know what, we go through all of this stuff over and over again, but it's more like a prison than it is life. And Rita's response to him was, how are you doing this? Or actually, she doesn't believe him, so he kind of explains to her about who she is and the things he knows about her. And her response is, How are you doing this? She didn't understand how he knew all of this. And he says, "I told you, I wake up every day right here, right in Punxsutawney, and it's always February 2nd, and there's nothing I can do about it." Now, her response to that is probably one of the most insightful aspects of the movie. Her response is, maybe it's not a curse. It depends on how you look at it.
Mm.
And I think that really is the situation here. Is it depends on how you look at it, because that is the way life is.
Sure, sure.
It all depends on how you look at it. So we're going to take our final break, and we'll come back and finish Groundhog Day and Solomon on Blast here on Power Talk Live. So we'll come back a couple minutes, find out what Phil's solution is and Solomon's.
Everything turn. There is a season turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal. A time to laugh, a time to weep. Turn. There is a season, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up.
All right, we're back. More of Solomon on Blast, final segment here today on Power Talk Live. So we're continuing with the whole premise of the Groundhog Day. Now, Phil, I don't know whether Rita's comment about maybe it's not a curse, it depends on how you look at it, does something to him, but he starts changing a little bit there. The old guy at the beginning, that the poor guy, the beggar that was there, he gives him money so that he can have something to eat. And then he finds out that the guy dies. And so he works hard to try and fix that situation over and over again. He goes and finds the guy early in the day, feeds him and everything else. But he, no matter what he does there, in the end, the guy always dies. And in the hospital, when he sees that he died, the nurse looks at him, and her response is, you know, sometimes people just die. And I think that's reality.
There's some things you can't prevent.
There are some things you cannot change no matter what you try and do. And I think that kicks him into a mode where now he begins to realize that the only thing that's going to change the situation, the success, is when we realize the only thing we can really and truly change is ourselves.
True.
And over a little bit at a time, really, and it doesn't happen overnight. And that's what you see in the movie, is Phil starts making changes. He goes and he learns how to do things. He learns how to play the piano. He becomes, you know, very skilled at playing the piano. Mm-hmm. In one scene, he's out there carving an ice sculpture with a chainsaw. Another scene, like I say, he's out practicing at this piano teacher's house. And so he starts building up skills, and he starts making differences in himself instead of trying to change everybody else around him. And when he does that, he starts working to help people in the town. You see him show up when these three old ladies are driving their car down the road and they have a flat tire. He pops in and jacks the car up and replaces the tire, and he says, well, I just happen to have a jack and a tire. And these ladies think he's the greatest thing in the world. Another scene, he shows up at a restaurant and a guy is choking, mm-hmm. and he grabs him from behind, does the Heimlich maneuver, and saves the guy's life. And the husband and wife are so, you know, appreciative of him. And another one, he's walking down the sidewalk and he looks at his watch and he realizes he must be late for some event that we don't know about and we haven't seen. And he runs down the sidewalk real quick and he gets underneath a tree, and this kid falls out of the tree and lands in his arm. And then he sets him down. The kid runs off and he says, ungrateful kid.
Maybe there's some quota that you have to reach in God's eyes of good deeds before he'll let you on to your next day or something. You have to reach this quota of good deeds. And finally, you've learned. Okay, great.
Right.
It reminds me of also the other movie he did, Scrooged, where he was a bad guy, like a curmudgeon in the beginning, and then he slowly turns into a better guy, and he learns his lesson, and hunky-dory at the end.
Yeah, and in this situation where he actually starts changing himself, he becomes more involved with the people in the town for their advantage instead of his own. Mm. And I think, again, Solomon is pretty clear on it. He says nothing is better for a man than he should eat, drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. And that's kind of what he's finding out, is he can enjoy the good in the things that he does and when he changes himself. And Solomon goes on and says, this also I saw was from the hand of God, for who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? And Solomon knew that he had all of these advantages and was able to do whatever he wanted, but he had to also understand through his wisdom that it wasn't all about him. And these are the kind of things that Phil takes a lot of time to figure out. And at one point he's pretty content with things, and he says, no matter what happens tomorrow, I'm happy for the rest of my life. And I think maybe that's kind of the trigger point, is that he's finally figured out that it's because he's learned how to deal with his experience and use the opportunities to make himself better, that he finally gets out of this loop of being stuck over and over again in the same day. And in the end, you know, he's appreciated by the town for all the things that he's done. There's a big bachelor party going on. There's a couple that got married, even though in one of the earlier scenes they were the wife-to-be wasn't so sure she wanted to get married, but I guess he must have obviously gone off and done something to help them out in that situation. So that's kind of what we need to do in our own lives, is look at the situations we're in and do good for others.
It's almost as if ignorant of something, you can eventually learn to get out of that, learn away from that ignorance.
And so in our One Greater Than Solomon segment, we always try and bring it back to what Jesus says, and I think Matthew 22:35-41 says it. Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And I think Phil finally figured out that that's really what it's about, loving your neighbor as yourself. So until next week, keep thinking wisely. And time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace. A time you may embrace, a time to